Well, good evening. Welcome to Monday night here at our family camp. You can take your Bibles, and we'll go to Exodus chapter 1. Our topic throughout the week, of course, is the riches of God's grace. And it's just such an awesome topic. I just stand in awe of God and in awe of His goodness. Sometimes I think God must have me mixed up with somebody more deserving. Do you ever feel that way? But we've seen how grace is unmerited divine favor. It's God supplying for man what he needs. God gives his word so that man can believe it, and then as a result, man can receive what God has made available. It's not earned, it's not warranted, but it comes from God's joy. It's God's great pleasure and delight to bless. That's our God. We saw this morning wonderfully how God's purpose for man was joyous fellowship with Him. And remember, God facilitated that by putting him in a garden called pleasure, garden of delight. He blessed man with just tremendous abilities and a beautiful companion. But certainly by Adam's disobedience, God's wonderful loving plan and provision was greatly disrupted. The relationship was severed. It was ruined. But then we saw how right following the fall of man, God announced a coming solution, a coming Savior, the promised seed, the one who would come and redeem mankind. And from that point on, Genesis 3:15, the subject of God's Word becomes the redemption of man. We thought that tonight it would be of benefit for us to look at the subject of redemption throughout God's Word. It is a subject that is throughout the pages of every book of the Bible. And it deals, of course, primarily with the coming one, Jesus Christ. But throughout the Old Testament, God gave many reminders, many glimpses, many things that would mirror what the coming Savior would do. And perhaps there's no greater mirror, there's no greater showing forth of redemption in the Old Testament than what occurred when God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt and took them into the Promised Land. And there's a lot of other things in the Old Testament that we could be looking at tonight in light of redemption. We've considered the kinsman redeemer from Ruth. You certainly can look at the tabernacle. You can look at the priests and the sacrifices. You can look at the feasts and so many other things in the Old Testament that show forth what the coming redeemer would do. But tonight, we'll be taking a look at the exodus of the children of Israel into the Promised Land. In the record of the book of Exodus, Israel was beginning a journey from the land of Egypt, the land of slavery, to the Promised Land. In that journey, one can find a true comparison to the journey of every person today. This gives us an idea of how the Old Testament is for our learning, how it's profitable for us. It depicts the journey a Christian may take from the time of slavery, defeat, and frustration to the more abundant life. The only difference is that the children of Israel look forward to the time of the coming of Christ, while we look back to His accomplishments. In Exodus chapter 1, we'll begin in verse 6. It says, "And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land of Egypt, was what? Filled with them." Egypt had been greatly blessed because of Joseph. And the children of Israel were brought into Egypt during that time period, and they too were blessed. They greatly multiplied. And then it says, now verse 8, "There arose a new king, a new pharaoh over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass, when there falleth out any war, they join also with our enemies and fight against us, and so get them out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their what? Burdens. This new Pharaoh brought the children of Israel into slavery. They became slaves in Egypt. And they set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they, the Egyptians, were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. This word rigor means literally crushingly. It was a tremendous burden. It was a tremendous slavery that the Egyptians inflicted upon God's people. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with what? Rigor. You can continue reading in this chapter, Exodus chapter 1, and see that there also went out a decree that the males that were born to the Israelites were to be put to death. Sometimes we can read in the Bible and just let sort of words pass quickly through our mind. But just imagine if it was the law of the land in which you were living, that if you had a male child, that child would be put to death. This is not fairy tale. This is real. This was true slavery for the children of Israel. At the end of Exodus chapter 2, in verse 23, it says, And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh of Egypt, died. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of their bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. So they prayed, they cried unto God. In verse 24, And God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. So the children of Israel cried unto God, and God heard their cry. He had respect unto them. God's answer to this prayer is now recorded in Exodus chapter 3. And it's the call of Moses. This is the record of God speaking to Moses from the burning bush. And we'll pick it up in we'll start in verse 1. It says, Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. And God said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And God said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of the taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to what? Deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land unto a good land, and a large, a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and the Mosquito Bites, and a few others. Verse 8 is very, very wonderful in light of the redemption of God's people. Because throughout the Word of God, there's two parts to redemption. Here, God says to Moses, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. See, the first part of redemption is a redemption from, or a redemption out of. In this instance, slavery and bondage that was in Egypt. But the second part of redemption is a redemption unto. See, God taking people out of and bringing them unto. And here, the unto is unto a land, a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. What is this? This is the promised land. See, that they would be taken out of slavery unto the promised land. And that land is often characterized in God's Word as a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, what does that mean? When they got in there, that there was all kinds of bees and cows and that there was rivers of white rivers of milk? No, it's a figure of speech. And it's a wonderful figure that connotes God's grace. Because both honey and milk are substances that man basically doesn't have to work for. The cows, they go out and they chew the grass, chew the cud, and they got all those stomachs. And all that man has to do is what? Receive it. See, same thing with honey. Right? The bees, busy as a bee, they go out and they work real hard. And then what do? You just take it. You just receive the honey. That's grace. See, the promised land. Grace. See, God providing for them what they needed. Deliverance out of, with a view of coming unto the promised land. Well, this is what God told Moses, and God gave him tremendous instructions. We'll go to Exodus chapter 6. And we'll start reading in Exodus 6, verse 4. God says, and I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. You know, God hears and answers our prayers. You know, sometimes our prayers are for just simple, wonderful things. Other times they're prayers of groaning, prayers of great need. Well, God heard their prayers, and He's working in these wonderful chapters to deliver them. And it says, look at verse 6. It says, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I, number one, will bring you out from the burdens of the Egyptians. And I, number two, will rid you out of their bondage. And I will, number three, redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I, verse 7, will take you to me for a people. And I will be to you for a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And verse 8, I will bring you unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an inheritance. I am the Lord. In these verses, verses 6, 7, and 8, there is repeated use of I will. This is what God will do. And remember, the Word of God is what? The will of God. This is what God's will is for the Egyptians. This is what God's doing is. This isn't talking about what the Israelites were doing. This is what God will do. Again, in verse 6, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Number 2, I will rid you of their bondage. Number 3, I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. Number 4, I will take you to me for a people. And number 5, I will be to you a what? God. Isn't this God's will? To deliver people from bondage? See, to redeem them so that He could be their God and that they could be His people. And it says in verse 8 and I, number 6, will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I, number 7, will give it to you for an inheritance. I am the Lord. This is what God would do. Now, what follows in the book of Exodus is Moses going unto Pharaoh, Pharaoh rejecting the word of God, rejecting what Moses said unto him. And as a result, there were tremendous plagues, 10 of them, that came upon the Egyptians. We're going to read in Psalm 105 concerning this event. This is something that throughout the Word, God keeps pointing back to after it occurred. Like in Psalm 105, I'm going to start in verse 23. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. That's where we began in Exodus. In verse 25, he turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. Verse 26, he sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it what? Dark. And they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of their kings. How would you like to have a bunch of frogs in your chamber? You know, it's interesting to note that each of these plagues were tied directly to the gods of Egypt. This was judgment against the gods of Egypt. The Egyptians worshipped frogs, for example. They worshipped the river Nile, and that Nile turned to blood. See, the plagues were against the gods of Egypt. It was judgment against their idolatry. It says in verse 31, he spake, and there came divers kinds of flies and lice in all their coasts. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He smote their vines also and their fig trees and brake the trees of their coasts. He spake and the locusts came and caterpillars and that without number and did eat up all the herbs in their land and devoured the fruit of their ground. He smote also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. Verse 37, he brought them forth also with silver and what? Gold. Now you remember that God instituted the feast of Passover, the Passover initially in the 12th chapter of Exodus. And he had them that night slay the Passover lamb. Remember, they took the blood and put it over the lintel of the doorways and they ate the flesh of the Passover. They ate it standing up because they were ready to leave. After the 10th plague against the firstborn of all of Egypt, they left. Under the hand, the direction of Moses, they left. And with them, verse 37, he brought them forth also with silver and gold. And there was not one feeble person among their what? Tribes. See, when they left Egypt, they had gone to the Egyptians and asked for their silver and gold. The next verse tells us, Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. The Egyptians were glad to give it to them. See, and so they walked out of Egypt with the prosperity of Egypt, and they also walked out of Egypt healed. This was the original Passover. It says, there was not one feeble person among their tribes. By some estimates, the children of Israel at this time would have been over 2 million people. There was not one feeble person among their tribes. This was the result of the Passover. It says, verse 39, he spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. And this, of course, gets into some of the events that occurred in the wilderness. But God did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Look at Exodus chapter 14. After they had gotten up and left, they came to the Red Sea. In verse 19, the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood before them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses, verse 21, stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of the fire and the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, and the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. You know, the children of Israel passed through the Red Sea by believing God's word. The Egyptians tried to do it, but they weren't believing God's word. And as a result, they drowned. You know, by this series of events, in a few days, the children of Israel had been delivered from slavery, from bondage. They had walked out with basically the wealth of the known world. They had all gotten healed. And now their enemy has been destroyed, the greatest military political power of that day and age. Look at what God did to redeem them, to deliver them. Now, at this point, it was God's great desire that they would then walk into the promised land, that they would believe, that they would go, they would follow His guidance and go into the land that He had promised. Unfortunately, God's plans were sort of short-circuited by the children of Israel's unbelief. They reached a certain point where they desired to go back to Egypt, a certain point, you remember, where they even fashioned the idol of Egypt, a golden calf, the god of Egypt. When they sent spies into the land to check it out, they saw that it was a great land, but they also became very afraid and brought back an evil report, which the children of Israel believed. God's great desire was that they would be so prosperous, healed, delivered, conquering, and walk into this great land that He had promised them. Instead of that being accomplished in this generation, that generation had to die out in the wilderness. It's interesting. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. God had promised the land, and the land was given to Israel. It was a land of milk and honey, a land given by God's grace. But God's grace has to be received, and it's received by believing. That generation, with the exception, notable exception of Joshua and Caleb, got stuck in the wilderness. But towards the end of Moses' life, God gave him the revelation of Deuteronomy. It says in verse one, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. What a wonderful context for this revelation originally given in. In verse 4, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. You know, God couldn't send this generation into the promised land because they weren't believing. There certainly was no place for them back in Egypt. So they were sort of stuck in the wilderness for 40 years. But look what God did to take care of them. He fed them with manna. Their raiment didn't wear out over 40 years. Their feet didn't even swell. It says in verse 50, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. That's not talking about jazz. This is the promised land. Look at what will be provided out of God's grace for his people. It says in verse 10, when thou hast eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command you this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of the flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto the fathers, as it is this day. This is God speaking to the children of Israel right at the end of the 40 years. After Moses, his servant, died, then Joshua did lead that succeeding generation into the promised land. You might enjoy here at camp reading the book of Joshua, because Joshua speaks to that which God had given to the children of Israel by his grace, the promised land. Basically, what they had to do was just simply believe, follow his instructions, and walk. You just walk in and claim what he had given them. And it's remarkable how many times through the book of Joshua and other places in the Old Testament, God says, this is what I have given you, the land that I have given you. God wants his people to know what he has done for them, what he's given them. Towards the conclusion of the book of Joshua, verse Chapter 21 is a bit of a summary. Joshua chapter 21. In verse 43, it says, "And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which He sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that He sware unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them, for the Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand." What a tremendous victory had been wrought from God's people. What a tremendous blessing that they have come into the promised land. God had fulfilled all of His word. In verse 45 it says, "There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel." How much came to pass? All. In this generation that Joshua led, all that God had promised concerning this land came to pass because they believed. They received what God had given them by grace, this great promised land. God wants His people to know what He has done for them, what He's made available, what He's given. Now, has He given to us a land? Has He given us a land of milk and honey, or a particular location for believers to move into? He's giving us something far greater in this age of grace because of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. The children of Israel walked out of Egypt without one feeble person among them. They were healed. Well, we live after the time of Christ, and we live in light of what Christ has accomplished. In 1 Peter chapter 2 is a reality for all of us as born-again Christians. It says in verse 24, "Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were," what? Healed. Children of Israel were healed, but by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ, we were healed. What a tremendous reality. Look at Colossians chapter 1. It says in verse 13, God hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear," what? "Son." See, the children of Israel got deliverance from their enemy. Well, we've been delivered from the power of darkness, and have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. In verse 14, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of," what? "Sins." See, the children of Israel were delivered from the slavery of Egypt. We've been delivered from the bondage of sin by the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. See, through Jesus Christ's perfect redeeming work, we've been delivered from all that was against us. We've been delivered from sin. We've been delivered from our enemy. We've been delivered from sickness. We've been delivered from death because we've been given eternal life. God wants us to know what we have. The children of Israel were delivered from Egypt unto the promised land. Well, we have something far greater than a land. We have the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. Our promised land, so to speak, is Ephesians. What the book of Joshua is to the Old Testament, the book of Ephesians is to us, to the New Testament. And as we conclude tonight by reading some of the first chapter of Ephesians, just consider how blessed we are and what God has given us. It says in verse 2 of Ephesians chapter 1, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Boy, are we blessed? See, all spiritual blessings. Those three words can go rather quickly as we read them. But when you stop and consider, all spiritual blessings. And it's all spiritual blessings in Christ. It's not in our works. It's in Christ, what He has done. Verse 4, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him." And then the next verse really starts with the two words, "in love." "In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." Remember, we saw that this was a garden of delight that He put Adam in. Well, what God has brought us to, the redeeming work of Christ, is God's delight. It's His good pleasure. This is what has brought God great joy. God is blessed that He now has children. It says in verse 5 again, "having predestinated us unto the adoption of children." Well, we are not adopted sons, but we have been placed as sons by birth. And that has brought us to God by Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of His will. Verse 6, "to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." In whom we have what? Redemption. See, look what we have. We have redemption. We've been made accepted in the Beloved. We have sonship. We've got all spiritual blessings. "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery, according to the good to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself." You know, God was blessed to make up His own mind to do all of this for us. See, it's His good pleasure. Nobody had to twist His arm, but He purposed this in Himself. This is what God wanted to do and make available by His grace to any and all who would simply believe. And ladies and gentlemen, we're so blessed because we have believed. We are now God's sons. In verse 10 it says that in the dispensation or the administration of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. And boy, praise God for what He's done for us. What He's given to us so freely through His grace. He's given us redemption. He's given us the gift of Holy Spirit. He's given us all spiritual blessings. He's made known unto us the mystery of His will. And it's all very pleasing to God that now we would be His people. God has always desired to have a people that He could care for, that He could bless, that He could delight in, and who would delight in Him. And ladies and gentlemen, we have the joyous, blessed privilege to be sons of God by the new birth Spirit. We are the children of God, and we are recipients of God's grace.